Celia Barnes talking to Trevor Millington about his memories of farming in the village.
Well, the first memories I have is harvest time and Stokes went up with the binders.
Oh, yeah.
So, and we were told by everybody not to go into the fields and start playing in them or else we'd be shot.
Yeah.
Because they didn't want them damaging and knocking over. And, what else was there? Cold winters, frost on the windows. Always feeding stock. We always had stock as well. Calves. When he bought this, where I live now, at Hilltop Farm, we had calves in the back. So I remember as a little one being in there and my dad fetching him home in the back of a car tied up in a bag.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, in the van.
Yeah.
Tied up in bags so they didn't move, some of them couldn't move. And, that's about old times.
What did you grow in those days?
Well, we grew turnips for feed. And we got sugar beet pulp back from sugar factories for sprinkling on top of turnips. Sometimes put some calf on. I remember going to Monk Fryson on a thrash. We went to a thrashing machine there and we were cutting calf up and fetching it back. And I went and I didn't have any sandwich with us anyway. It was Mr. Riley and he fetched us an ham sandwich out and it was that thick that you could hardly open my mouth and get the sandwich in.
A proper sandwich. Oh, brilliant.
I remember coming back, it was late-ish on and we had to come the back road because we haven't got any lights on the back of the trail.
Used to happen in those days, yeah, didn't it?
So, well, thrashing once in the harvest time, so it was getting darker nights when they were thrashing, you see.
Yeah. What was the thrashing machine?
It was just an ordinary Ransom's, I think.
Yeah.
A Ransom thrashing machine,
yeah.
If I remember rightly. It won't run off a steam engine, though, it would run off a pulley off a tractor. We were bagging that up.
Yeah.
And then we had one of the first combines in the village because my granddad had a Massey Ferguson. And then we got Trail Class, one, silver one, and it seemed massive, but all it was aeroplane tyres on it. But it seemed big when we were little.
Yeah.
You know, when you looked up at it, I mean, it's the miniatures compared to what the annual is.
It's amazing.
And it was only an 8-foot cut, but it had a David Brown engine on it, and we used to go to the garage and get it filled up with petrol. And we had a baler with an engine on it as well.
Wow.
So that for harvest time, and that was you said, I don't remember it as much, but I knew that they had to have to put wires through it to tie together, not string. So it was like a wire baler, but you'd have somebody at the back threading it. Oof. It wasn't automatic. That must have been a tough time.
Yep.
And then after that, when we got the ordinary baler, we put a sledge on the back. And Frank somehow got underneath it. He was riding on the back and he had slats and you put a pole in to push him off. And I don't know how Frank did it, he must have slipped and went underneath it. It's a good job they'd gone off.
See Frank in a bale?
No, it's underneath them all, yeah.
Yeah.
Taking sugar beet up, we used to be taking potatoes up by hand baskets. So you'd have a tractor running down rows and then you'd have two rows at each side taken up. So you'd have four women at one side, four women at the other, somebody tipping the baskets into the trailer and somebody driving on. And then we'd fetch them home and we got some high tip trailers, but we went back to throw so many off at the top to level it out. And then when they'd gone home at 4 o'clock, it would change everything over and go take sugar beet up till 8 o'clock at night. And then at weekend, you'd be drilling wheat.
Wow. So you had a good mixture on the farm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you have any other animals other than the calves?
We once, where Gaff Lane is now, we had some pigs up there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So remember the pigs being in the fold. there. I don't think we had much. Oh, we had a couple of old pigs up the yard when I was little. Remember those? Because you'd have a licence to move them in those days. And I remember one got out and we didn't know where it had gone, so we asked Dixons, who lived next to the wheat sheaf, if they'd seen it. Anyway, when they went to feed their bar at night, they found our pig in with it. With a smile on its face.
Yeah, they both had smiles probably. Wow.
Yeah. And it broken out the door, and then we'd put two pieces of wood on the top, and it smashed those and got out, and jumped the door.
Wow. Yeah. And they're powerful beasts, pigs, aren't they? Yeah. Oh, that's amazing. How many farms were there in the village when you were little?
There'd be Perkins at the far end. Then Alan Lister had one next door to the Lion. Then there was Alan Lister's opposite the wheat sheaf. Bob Jagger at the far end. Red brick house, the big house at the far end of the village. Then coming back, Butler's used to have like a small holding, but they'd packed up, so their land went to Jaggers and a few more farmers. And then there was Jeff Thompson's, which is still there. Then there was Garth Farm. And then there was, when we first moved into the village, this belonged to, well, it didn't belong to, they rented it, it was Sainer's. And then there was Hayes up Chapel Street, on a cross road there, at Hillside. That was Jarvis, who had that.
Yeah.
And he had the first ever milking machine which you could transport, and he had it at top of Chapel Street one year, and it run on a engine what you started up and put milking cows.
Wow.
Yeah.
Was that on the Bullgarth side? No, it was on Cherwell side.
On the top of the streets down what we call Cinder Lane now.
Yeah.
It was on the right hand side there.
Oh right. Wow.
Yeah. So that was when we were little.
Yeah.
And I remember that being up there. So, who else was there? Yeah, the A's. That'd be it. And then, there was a small opening up gate for Thlane. And he used to have pigs. It's where Horace Lamb lived. And I'm trying to think of his name. But there was a small opening up there, and he kept pigs. To think about that one. It'll come to me. I think they called him Brown.
Oh, right.
Yeah. That's when I was little.
Yeah. Was Mulberry Farm?
No, I don't remember it as a farm.
No.
Yeah.
Was it a small holding when you remember, or had it?
It would have been. My auntie Bertha actually lived there, Bertha Hills.
Yeah.
They moved out as we moved in.
Oh, right.
And then the Chapman came there.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
I never remember Ted having any animals. Because he used to do everything else. He sowed grass and did all sorts of things. You know, fiddling grass and stuff. Had paper round. Same as Lister's. I don't remember him, but I was too small, I suppose, to remember. But he used to deliver coal from this railway station.
Oh, right.
Did Alan's dad.
Yeah, I think he took over from Mr. Trees.
Mm.
Was it Joe Lister, I think?
Yeah, Joe Lister.
Yeah.
And then Mrs. Skell, she had a paper shop further down the street, which is next door to, which is it? You can still see the main shop outside of it. Yorkdale Drive, house this side of Yorkdale Drive. That was a shop.
Oh, right, yeah.
And then there was a post office across the road here. But also, when you turn left opposite the surgery, Mrs. Thompson had a shop there.
Oh, right.
Because I remember going in there.
Yeah.
That's going back as well. Because that closed not long after. And then there was the shop. What's been knocked down at Station Road.
Yeah.
that was Horace Lamb's shop, was that. And then when that closed down, when he finished, he moved up to Gates Lane, where Brown's used to live, who had the small holding. And then that became the post office, and this one shut.
Yeah.
And then when he shut, that was it, the post office finished, didn't it?
Yeah, yeah, it's gone now. Mm. Yeah.
So,
was the garage here when you were little?
That were Parkinson's had it then.
Yeah.
So, and that were all Nissanuts. And the garage, what's the front now where the shop is, that was 2 stories high.
Oh, right.
And they had, I was told after that they had used to have functions upstairs for the village.
Wow.
And Nissanuts all in there. The one opposite where I live now, that's where they used to do all the mechanicing.
Okay.
And that was the showroom, what's at the front now.
Wow. But,
so they didn't do any mechanicing in there.
No, it was all...
In there it was built after.
Yeah.
At the back.
Wow.
And John Parkinson built the house, which is now part of the hotel, because they extended it, and he built the house there, did John Parkinson. And then Mickey's son lived in it when he moved out. And then he sold it to Gilders, who sold it all up, and the owl bought the house, and that's why it's separate now.
Yeah, oh right, that's, yeah. Mm. So was the house where sort of the annex is?
That's what it was, they extended it to make it into a hotel.
Yeah.
Bedrooms.
Yeah.
So that was part of the house.
Oh, excellent. It's amazing, isn't it, how it's all changed.
Yeah. Still in the front of that building for years.
Oh, right.
Where the toilet, there was a toilet at this end.
Yeah.
And it was still there for years till they altered front, about 10 years ago.
Wow.
And the little window that were there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. That were part of when it's not. Well, if you look at the old pictures, what we've got, you can see bases.
Yes, I've got one of.
Yeah, you can see the bases, can't you?
Yeah.
But the chef who was at the Owl, Mrs. Gell's, it was Vince Gell, he had a pig in there as well. And we buried it up the yard, and it was that big that Frank and Doug were all big enough and it stuck out to the hotel.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah. And station. They used to load beet on there, sugar beet.
Yeah.
Frank told it.
Oh, yes.
Well, it was that narrow that when you were trying to back up and it was icy, you went onto the main line. Anyway, my dad found out they were swapping tickets around and looking for the best beet, so that's when he decided to get a lorry and take it in to sell. But,
yeah.
Yeah, that's what we did.
Yeah. But
railway backs, I mean, I've still got some upstairs in Malcolm.
Yeah.
And pages. We've got 21 stone in one bag.
Wow.
The lad from Ormskirk, Lancashire, were coming across and his mate had blown his stomach with a grease gun. Or colour who they came. You know them? With pinpoint ones.
Yeah.
Before they had one popping around. And he were underneath it and he was trying to guide it onto the nipple and he pressed trigger at the same time and it went septic.
I'm not surprised.
So he came with clogs on and he got 11 bags on. He says, how many will I want? And I was wheeling him off the Maltkill steps up the door with another small bag to get it iron for him to get on his back. I said, well, I could hardly get on to Sackwheels. Just only me there at 10. And I could hardly get them on. And we're pulling them back and wheeling them on. And we took both of us to get one on a way. And I kept putting all these weights on until I got 20 stone. And then I put 2 bricks on, which weigh £7 each. He says, I can't carry 21 stone. I said, you just put 10 bags on lorry.
Wow. It's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah. But other fella, he had arms, like somebody's legs, and he could just throw 12 stone into position. I haven't seen any like him.
No.
I felt that he was. Duckworth, it was. I even remember the name when we used to go upwards.
Yeah?
From over Lancashire, yeah.
Wow. Mm. That is incredible, isn't it?
Yeah. potatoes for potato making, if I'll have to tell you this one. Used to put blue dye on them.
Yeah.
And then, but trouble was, we couldn't store them bulk, you had to bag them up, and then they used to come, you put them open, put them up elevator, and they went into lorry. Well, we had two barns across the road there, so kids set them on fire.
Yeah.
So what we did was, we had elevator. We had two trailers packed up, two flat trailers, what we used to put straw on. So I was walking across, after elevator, walking across these two trailers and stacking them under the other barn, till they came for them. Well, Jeff were putting that much damn dye on them. When I went to get bath, my dad walked into the bathroom and says, your back is blue. I says, never mind me back, my underpants are blue, my vest's blue. I says, silly buggers, they ain't putting that much on. I says, everything's blooming, wet filled with blooming, and it were right blue.
Yeah.
I says, I'll fetch him up a screwing brush. I says, you can leave it.
Yeah. Thank you, though.
Do you know what he did? He put a slight pinch, when we were doing it up the yard, he put a slight pinch powder in, that's his gloves. And when he took them off, and it took some getting off.
Yeah.
It was weeks. A week to get it off. It won't come off.
Wow.
He was a sod with you. He once all had some butter dainties out, put mustard in and give them to him. And his worst one was, my mother asked him if he'd pluck a chicken, and because she was going to the Women's Institute, and there was a fella coming to show him how to gut him and stuff like that. Anyway, Jeff had gutted the, had not gutted it, but he'd stuffed some nuts and bolts inside in some washers. Anyway, when this fella come to show him, he says, oh, he said, I haven't got time to get a chicken. Anybody done it before? So we all stuffed some little duff. Yes, I have done it before. Right, can I use your chicken? Yes. So she passes him it across anyway. He's slitting it open at the back. He puts his hand in and says, what the heck have you been feeding yourself?
But there used to be all that sort of fun.
Oh, dear. Oh, the best one was, we got a fox wrapped round beat machine, had open wheels like that. And when it came up, it narrowed and lifted him, and then there was a beater. We had rubber paddles on, they were about that wide, and there were three in a row, and that spun round, so there were like five blocks came round to knock them up onto the chain, and then it went up the chain, and then it went in between two to get muck off, and then into tank and into trailer. No, it wanted tank, on that one, we had trailer outside of it. Anyway, this dead fox got round this roof, and Frank wouldn't go near it, it stunk, and we had this metal, with a metal shaft. Anyway, I got it chopped off. That was down chased after him. Frank said, you come near me with that. He said, I'm fine, I'm getting a he hated it. Dead fox.
Yeah, they do.
Oh, it won't.
Yeah.
When you were digging dikes out, you'd do a length. Then you'd pass one over doing the other piece. But literally was, as you were walking further up, Jeff had dug a big hole out, so he went over your welly tops. Then you'd go to the tractor, start it up, get your welly on top and your sock and dry the thing out. That was another trick he did.
Where did he live in the village?
He lived... Lodge Farm.
Oh, right, yeah.
Well, they split it in half. His sister had one half and he had the other.
Yeah? Oh, brilliant.
Yes. He must have been lying.
And Mr. Price, being in the...
Right, we're in Lyon and he's on about dancing. Oh, I've cups and medals and all sorts for dancing. I used to dance a lot when I was younger. So I said, all right, George. Anyway, got to Christmas time, and Lyon said, anybody want to go to the Owl for a Christmas do? So they organised this do at the Owl, and the landlord, he had to stop while closing time, but his wife went and his sister. And George was sat at the same table. So I said to George, why aren't you getting him up to dance? So he says, well, I can't dance, I've told left feet. I says, that's funny, 3 months ago you told us you cooked some medals for dancing. Well, I've never seen anybody go so bright red in my life.
Who was the landlord then?
It was Charlie and Russ. That's our local landlord of the Owl, Mr. Price, was supposed to be on the convoy when went to Russia and helped out for the starving. And it turned out there was a fireman down at Portsmouth. And put a heater in the toilet to stop it freezing up because it was really frosty. And when she came down the next morning, it used to be wet through the house. There was a passage from the kitchen went down the middle to the far end. And that used to run with water. It was that damp.
Wow.
And the toilet did as well. And when she came down, it was just black. All cup running down the wall in the, where the toilet was at the far end. The wick had got sooty and everything was just black running down the wall.
Oh, one of those paraffin heaters, yeah. Because was there a well in the kitchen?
It was a soft water well underneath, yeah.
Yeah.
I filled it in. And then there was a bit of a, I don't remember it, but there was a bit of a
cellar
just next door to the toilet. And I think that's where it's quite so damp still under that carpet.
Mm. Yeah.
Because it's tiled and it's on sand.
Yeah.
Because when we did the electric work, both front room at this side and the other rooms all been dug out because the floorboards were resting on the blooming sand. It's on soil and it were all rotten.
Yeah.
With the beams across. So they dug them out, concreted it, put bricks up, left them so they were ventilated. And then put beams on the top, so it's, you know, it's about that deep. Mm. And so when we did electric work, which is a bar under where the front door is, where passages, and it was just sand because we bored through it, didn't me and Cookie, to put wiring from the other side.
Wow.
Yeah. So.
Because the hole hadn't been dug.
Well, it'd never been dug out, had it?
Yeah. Should have all been dug out, shouldn't it?
Yeah.
Be good to know how old. It is.
Well, by looking at the roof, it's fairly old because it must have been wet wood because it's all been pushed out where the roof beams are.
Yeah, yeah.
And upstairs, in the attic, it's cement floor.
Wow.
Farm workers lived up there.
Yeah.
And one side were petitioned off for lasses.
Wow. Mm.
I'll have to take you up one day and have a look.
You want some photographs of it?
Yeah,
And the molecule.
I mean, basically, that's where the farm people used to, you know, farm workers used to live.
Yeah.
Yeah, the malt kiln that had a grid-like floor with holes in, and there were coke ovens in it at right-hand side.
Wow.
Because when my dad first came here, I mean, I don't remember it, but when my dad first came here, he tried to dry some corn on it, and it collapsed.
not good.
No, overnight. Yeah, so. Because there weren't dryers in those days.
No.
But we were first with a dryer because when you go in there, it's metal slatted floors and that high up off the floor, and there's tunnels going down, and there's an electric fan at the end with an electric bank on it. So what we used to do is dry it about, put a couple of trailer loads in, well, they'd be only small then, only 3 tonners.
Yeah.
So you put a couple in, dry that. And to turn it into another bin, because what happened was, it used to find easiest way through. So where it dropped, it was more solid.
Yeah.
And where it outside, it was lighter cone, because it spread, didn't it?
Yeah.
So it used to blow through easy parts.
Yeah.
So to turn it, or else it'd go off.
Yeah, you get more.
So I remember one year, was it about 14, was it? We went in, and the last bin, we couldn't turn it. And it all went mouldy. It absolutely stunk. That nearly pick it out that.
Wow.
In buckets. And it's still stained. Is all that bin at far end?
Yeah.
With you know, galvanised.
I mean, those are the types of photographs you need as well, because.